Welcome to By the Cottage Hearth with Dana Marie. I'll be taking you through the journey we make as healers, the impact we're yet to make, and the words to use to describe it. Come on in. Hey, hey, welcome to episode 4 of the By the Cottage Hearth podcast. I am your host, Dana Marie. And today I want to be talking about respecting your own boundaries. And I had to try and figure out how I was going to approach this particular topic, because boundaries is something that you'll probably hear me say a lot. It's one of my favorite words. It's something that I feel like I talk about quite regularly. But I don't necessarily want to go at it from the why you should have boundaries with other people angle, because as much as that's true, I think one of the people who betray your boundaries the most is going to be you, which is why I want to start there. So let's go back to why we struggle as healers, because this is our lens. Why do we struggle to create and then reinforce boundaries? If you look at the way that we feel compelled to help other people, and this is going to call some people out, but there might be someone who comes to you, and even if the problem that they're dealing with is something you wouldn't typically work with, it's not your niche, your anchor, it's not your business model, but there's this person in front of you that needs help. There's so many of us, and I've been there before, and I now have boundaries in place around it. So many of us would go, give me 5 minutes, I will figure out an offer for you. I will figure out a way to help you with this. Even if it's not in a business context, if someone comes to you and it's not your zone of genius and they say, I don't know how to figure this out, chances are, my fellow healer, you're going to say, I can help you figure that out. I'll help you fix it. I've got no idea. I'm probably going to have to watch 5 YouTube videos and download a tutorial, but I will help you fix it. At our core, we can't bloody help ourselves, right? It's in there, deep in our psyche, into our soul calling. We can't help ourselves. But when it comes to creating boundaries where we have to try and help ourselves, we have to try and stop and put a barrier there and say, actually, I'm not the best person to help you with this, but I have someone awesome that I can put you in touch with. We find that really hard at the start, because it's almost like we want to take responsibility. We want to wrap this person, bundle them all up, and help take all of the pain and troubles away. So if we have a boundary there, a loose boundary that we've said we've got there, and then someone comes up and they start testing that boundary, it's really hard for us to not make an exception for that one person, to not let that person go this time, but next time I'll reinforce that boundary. Unless, of course, the person you've just helped tells everyone else that you do that thing, and now they're all coming to you and you are going to have to choose, well, do I reinforce my boundary now, or do I go, oh, actually I was meant to take Friday off as a rest and recuperate day, but you really need help, so it's okay, I've got time, I'll just schedule you in on that day, because, you know, me time isn't really a booking, that's flexible. If you feel called out on these, you're welcome. It is definitely something you should be looking at. The idea of letting someone down can be crushing. It can be triggering. It can be something, especially if you have abandonment wounds, if you have self-sabotage wounds, if that mother wound is nice and raw for you. The idea of not being able to help someone, having to tell someone no, if you've got those people pleaser tendencies, having to tell someone, actually, no, I can't help you with that, or no, I don't have time in my schedule to be able to make this allowance for you, actually, I'm really sorry. We feel so, so shitty having to say those things. And I still, with all my boundary work and all the work that I've done on all of the wounds that I have, I still struggle and have to almost self-soothe after telling someone no, because it's the worst thing in the world, right? So that's why, when it comes down to it, if you have a lot of people in your life that are crossing the line, that are speaking to you in a way that isn't acceptable, that are taking advantage of your time, that seem to be asking for free or discounted services all the time, I have to give you a little bit of tough love here and say the person who's betraying your boundaries is actually not them. It's you. Because people act in a way that we tell them is okay to act with us. If we let them talk to us in a certain way and we don't correct it, we don't reinforce a boundary, we don't call them on it, we're actually telling them, that's cool. You can talk to me like that. That's fine. I can give you free advice all the time. My voice is going now. Apparently I've recorded too many episodes today. If it, you know, that's fine. I will give you free help. You don't have to pay for it. We're actually teaching them that behavior. We're actually telling them that is a boundary over there. They're not crossing a line, because we're not even drawing the line in the sand. We're not pointing to it. We're not signposting it. We're not telling them that that is not acceptable. If you're letting them do it, they're actually not crossing a boundary, because you haven't given them any in the first place. So this is why I want to talk about why it's so important for us to respect our own boundaries, because if we don't, no one else even knows that they're there. No one else actually will respect them, because we're not putting up that wall and reinforcing that being there in the first place. When it's our clients that are doing that, this is some of the things that might happen. Again, happy to throw myself under the bus and speak from experience. It might be that you are giving them support between sessions when the service doesn't actually include that. You might be replying to messages more often than you should be, or that you are reasonably expected to. You might go well over time. You might give discounts to people when your prices have just gone up. They might want to continue on at a previous price. They might want to book in this week, because actually this week's the only time I can see you, but you don't have time this week, so you just move that appointment to go and see your naturopath, or to go and get a massage, something that was for your well-being. I'll just cancel that this week and I'll give that time to someone else. Being able to let clients use sessions even though you haven't heard from them in 18 months and the expiry date was well and truly in the terms and conditions, but you know, it's fine, I'll just let them do this. Or maybe you don't even have any terms and conditions for your services, because no, it's fine, we'll just talk about it, we'll just go with it, it'll be fine, we don't need any, you know, that stuff's legal stuff, and I don't want to muddy our, you know, client relationship by having that there and making it complicated and making them feel like I don't trust them. Any of that sounding familiar? That doesn't mean you can't give discounts. That doesn't mean that you can't reward your current clients and say thank you to them and let them continue on with a different pricing than new clients that book with you after a price rise. It doesn't mean you can't do those things, but there is a huge difference between doing those things intentionally because it feels good to you and feeling pressured to have to do those things even though it makes you feel uncomfortable. And those are two wildly different decisions. So if you are feeling like a lot of these things that I'm mentioning now sound a little bit familiar, look at why you are making those decisions. And that's a really great place to start. If someone says, hey, I'd really like to swap services. If you give me an hour of your time, I'll give you an hour of my time. And if that feels really good because they're a biz bestie or something like that, awesome, do it. But as soon as they say that, if that makes you go, actually, no, I want to have a boundary around that. It's really important to me that, you know, as women entrepreneurs, as marginalized people, we charge for our services. So I'll pay for yours and you pay for mine. And then when we do our tracking for the month, we can track that money because it's real money. And that's really important to me. But I don't want to tell them no, because that makes me kind of feel shitty too. If that is a overthink process, if that is a thought process that comes up after someone suggests that, that is a boundary that you really need to start reinforcing, because you do want to have that boundary there, but it's going to start feeling uncomfortable the first couple of times you start reinforcing things. And whatever we want to call it, the universe has a wonderful way of sending someone to test a boundary the moment you declare it. The moment. I've had people 5 minutes later test a boundary and I go, "Ooh, that was quick. That was good." And you have to put your money where your mouth is, and you have to go, "Actually, I have a boundary around that. I personally have a boundary around lending people money. I've learned this the hard way, and I have certain amounts that I feel comfortable lending people. I now lend with the intention of, if they never pay me back, I have to be okay with that. So I can't lend beyond what I would be comfortable losing if that person didn't pay it back. And I have an ozone, as in OWE. If you owe me money, you're in the ozone, and I am no longer going to lend you money until you pay back what you already owe." And this is just an example of a boundary I have. And within the week, as soon as I declare this to the universe, that one gets tested. I find that the more that you are saying these boundaries out loud, the easier it gets to reinforce them. It's always the first time that you have to do it, and it's usually if it's like a family member or a friend that has asked you, it's really hard. It can be really hard because you feel like you're a bitch. You feel like you're being unreasonable. You feel like, but it's actually, I could do it. But that's not the point. This is an exercise of declaring what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. And if you're betraying that boundary, you cannot expect other people to come to the table and start treating you that way. No one else is going to be able to put these in place for you. No one else is going to be able to put them. You're not going to all of a sudden have a whole bunch of clients that are going to go, "Oh, that's fine. We'll do things a certain way. We'll set up your boundary. We'll respect your boundary," because no one else knows what is and isn't acceptable for you. You're the only person who can declare that to your clients. And it's in your personal life as well. So as much as I want to talk about our work as healers on this podcast and in my work, self-expression goes beyond working with our clients. It goes beyond booking podcast guest episodes with people online, strangers online in your business network. It goes down to the relationship you have with your partners, the relationships that you have with your kids, with your friends, with your family. So in your personal life, it's not just about having boundaries with clients about what behavior is and isn't acceptable. Does your partner have a joke that they tell that's actually been bothering you for the last 10 years and it actually hurts your feelings, but because you've been letting it go for the last 10 years, you think, it's unreasonable to say something now? No, it's not. You can create and you can uphold a boundary any day, anytime, no matter how long that behavior's been going. Just because you've accepted something before, it doesn't mean you're no longer allowed to put your hand up and say, "That's not acceptable," or "I'm not comfortable." It doesn't even have to be a, "That's not acceptable. This is a non-negotiable for me. Actually, I don't want to do this anymore. So let's figure it out." And one of the scary things that can come up, as with self-expression, if you start embracing self-expression in a more genuine and truer sense, relationships with people do change. And boundaries, if we're going to talk about why it's so hard to create and enforce those boundaries, the fear of a relationship changing, a dynamic changing, is probably one of the biggest reasons that we struggle with it, that we find it so difficult to do. If I say this thing to my partner, will they leave me? Will it cause a big fight? I don't feel like fighting today, so I'll just accept it. I'll just let it go. We don't want our kids to stop talking to us. We don't want family members to get mad and not invite us to things. We don't want people to not call us back. There is this fear that we will lose people if we enforce these boundaries. Is that a good enough reason to let everyone walk all over us and do what they want? No, it's not. And it's scary. And if it was easy, I probably wouldn't have a business helping people self-express and do things like putting boundaries in place. It is very common. And I think as heart-centered people, as healers who want to take the pain out of the world, it can feel very counterintuitive to go out there and create a boundary in place that feels like it's going to be causing harm. It's going to upset someone else. But we are not the dregs at the bottom of the barrel. Our needs are important too. And, you know, on a plane, they say, put your oxygen mask on before you try and help someone else. And I think there's a lot of us who have gone through a long period in our lives that we've never put that oxygen mask on first. We've never put our needs before someone else. It feels wrong to do. It feels uncomfortable. And it's very easy to slip back into that previous version of what the boundaries used to look like, because it can feel exhausting when you first start putting them up. But all of a sudden, you start knowing who your real friends are. All of a sudden, you start having conversations that are respectful and respect your boundaries. You start getting to know people in a different way because you're talking to each other and connecting in a different way. We start having more time in our business to go to that massage appointment, to relax after we've had a lot of client sessions. We start having time in the evenings with our families because we had a boundary around what time I'm going to shut that laptop and stop working on my business. We start living that lifestyle that most of the time is the reason we pursued working for ourselves in the first place. It might not be the driving factor behind why healing, but owning our own business. We didn't get into business to work in worse living conditions, worse work conditions than we did when we were in a day job. So you think about all those times that you're in a day job where you complained about your boss. You complained about the unreasonable expectations they put on you. You complained about how stressed you were, about crying before going into a shift. That's definitely one I can relate to in multiple jobs. About places that didn't respect your neurodiversity. As a neurodivergent person who needed certain allowances in a workplace, you didn't start working for yourself to be a dick boss. To be someone who made work really, really uncomfortable for you. So if that's the case, you have to start being a kinder boss to yourself. You have to start putting these boundaries in place and telling people what is and isn't acceptable in your life. Some of the non-negotiable things that you should look at, and this is going to be different for everyone, so I can't give you 5 things you should put in place because those are going to be so different for so many different people. But as a healer, these are some things that you should be considering. Look at what your downtime looks like, whether this is after a healing session, client-facing sessions. As very empathetic, energy-connected, intuitive people, client work can be fucking exhausting. It can, especially if you have a session with someone that goes into something that maybe re-triggers you or was very emotionally heavy or it was very energy exhaustive. Look at how you have your downtime. Do you give yourself time that evening to just ground to just do something that makes you feel comfortable, whether it's reading a book or having a bath or getting outside and taking the afternoon off after client sessions. Look at what that is and look at whether or not you're actually being intentional about it. Are you just brushing over and going, but I've got so many things to do this afternoon, I'll do it later? That should be a red flag. I don't have time for self-care, for giving myself a chance to refill my cup. Newsflash, if you keep trying to pour out of an empty cup, out of an empty jug, you're going to be banging the bottom of it, wondering why you have no energy left to do anything else. You're not refilling it. So from a logical standpoint, refill your cups, please. Another thing might be taking on clients that make you feel incredibly uncomfortable because of the money. Now, this one is really difficult because when you're in the position in your business, whether you're just starting out and you're just booking your first clients, or it's been a hard month and you haven't booked clients for a little bit and you need the money to pay that bill, it can be really tempting to just book that client. It can be really tempting to just go, I'll just do this session. I need the money right now. But you're telling the universe that your boundaries don't matter. You're telling yourself that you don't matter. And think about the last time you had one of those clients where the energy was really off. Could you do sessions after that session? Or did the energy throw you so out of whack, it threw you out the rest of the day or even a couple of days? So you had to cancel a session with someone that you would have loved to work with. Or maybe you didn't book any clients on those days because you just didn't have it in you. So look at what the energetic cost is, the emotional cost of seeing these clients. Because as much as the money might look good on the surface, there is usually a higher cost to that. And when we are, as healers, working with our energy, when we are putting so much of ourselves out on the line to do this work, we have to be so mindful about the impact that that has. Did you have an awesome family day planned with your family? And because you did that session with that person in the morning, you're a grumpy bitch for the rest of the day. And it's no one's fault. It's just the mood that you got put in because you did that client session. And now the rest of the day is ruined and you feel guilty and your kids are cranky. And the energetic cost can be really high. So if you are in a habit of booking these sessions and those seem to be like the only ones you're getting right now, look at what it might do if you said no to them and you called in clients that made you feel good, that you loved working with. I love my clients. I don't have a single client that I look at and go, I don't want to talk to that person. I get so excited. I end up writing shit tons of content after talking to my clients. So they are great for my productivity. We cry together. I usually make them cry more, but some of them get me when it's pulling a particular thread. And I love the work that I have, but I also am very intentional about my boundaries, that by usually 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm done. I need a nap. I chuck a hypnosis track in. I've got wonderful access to, if you don't know about Christine Collins, shout out. Her hypno library has been absolutely fantastic. I'll go and listen to one of those tracks, or I'll go and have a sleep, and I'll let myself crochet and listen to a podcast, or maybe cook in the afternoon. And that's been really hard for me, especially coming back out of a 9-to-5 that I did between iterations of my business, because I got back into that go, 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 and this is where your lunch breaks are, and this is where I followed my lunch breaks for the first few months. I mean, that's also a neurodivergent, how my brain works with routine, but I was still following those break times when I came out of a day job. And if you're someone who's still rocking your day job and building your business, it might be really hard because you're like, no, I have to get all of this stuff done now because this is the only time that I have to build it. If you are still rocking a day job, give yourself a chance to breathe into your business, to grow into your business, to really feel into it. because if you go straight into that, go, 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 have to book clients, have to do this, you get into that desperate energy, you're more likely to betray your boundaries because you'll do anything it takes to make it work. And burnout is a bitch. So if you take anything away from this, is be kinder to yourself, respect your boundaries, make sure you actually know what your boundaries are. Sometimes writing them down and seeing them and declaring them in front of you gives you less wiggle room to try and make gray area allowances to them. And just give yourself a chance to fulfill your own needs, to honor that you actually have needs and they're really important, and you don't have to put everyone else's needs before you refill that cup. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of By the Cottage Hearth with me, your host, Dana Marie. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow on whatever platform you're on to be notified of new episodes. And you can also follow me on By the Cottage Hearth on Facebook and Instagram. Check out show notes for any links or freebie goodies that I might have going at the time. Otherwise, I'll see you on the next episode. Keep healing.